I invite you to turn, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, one verse for our text, and it'll be verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Down through the years, I have tried to encourage you to love the Word of God. I have said over and over that the Bible will revolutionize your life. And some of you have taken it to heart and have endeavored to spend more time in the Word. I fear that others of you have neglected the repeated and the exhortations that have been offered, and you still remain ignorant of its teachings. Well, then, of course, some of you are new to our assembly or new to the faith and perhaps have not even considered this issue. Well, either way, God has laid upon my heart to remind you of the importance of the Word of God in your life. It is sort of like the preacher who preached the same sermon three Sundays in a row. And finally, one of the church members came up and said, "Preacher, you've preached the same message three weeks running, and when are you going to preach something new?" And the old preacher replied, "Well, when you do something about this one." So, I guess as long as there are those who refuse to hear the message and fail to implement the truths of the Bible, there will be a need to declare the significant benefits of the Word of God in the life of a believer. So it is my objective to employ our text to this end. May we each recognize and understand the tremendous impact the Bible can have upon us as we pass through this life. May we be reminded of the positive effect of God's Word upon our souls. May we love His Word. May we learn His Word. May we live His Word. Now, Peter extends a command to his readers and unto us. And it is, desire the Bible. And so I'd like to speak to you a message from our text entitled, Desire the Bible. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank You for the day and the privilege of being in Your house. And Lord, our heart goes out to those who would desire to be here and cannot. We pray that You bless them and heal the sick, meet their needs. But Lord, we've come together today to honor You and worship You in spirit and in truth. And You're with us today. Thank You for that. And I pray that You would just still our hearts from the thoughts and the cares of the world, that we might dwell upon You, that we might focus upon Your Word. And I pray that You would take that Word by Your Spirit and work it in every one of our hearts, and that You would meet the needs of all who have come today. Whether they're lost or whether they're saved, may they see the importance of the Word of God. And so we commit this time to You today, and we honor You with it, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." The first thing I would like to mention to you is really give you a review of this verse. It's pretty simple, really, when you think about it, and just ponder what Peter is saying to his readers. What we have here is that Peter directs his word, these words, to Christians of all spiritual ages, but exhorts them to behave as newborn babes. Now notice that he's just not talking to newborn babes. He's just not talking to new Christian. He says, as newborn babes. So you might be a new convert in Christ. Yes, this would apply to you, but you might have been saved for 5 years or 10 years or 20 years or even 50 years. But my friend, this verse still applies to you, because as a newborn babe. So as you think of what we find in our passage today, recognize no matter how long you've been saved, here is a lesson for you. And it certainly is a lesson for me. Now, the picture really is clear when you look at the text. As newborn babes long for milk, the Christian is to yearn for the Bible. It's pretty simple, isn't it? We were privileged to have two sons, and well, we know what it is to have babies, and we know what it is for those babies to desire milk. When they're freshly born, boy, that's their sustenance, and that's what you give them. That's what they long for. My oldest son, he used to quiver. I mean, if we weren't fast enough, he started crying, and he'd just start going into convulsions almost. And we'd show him the Bible, the bottle, you know, and he'd just start shaking. He was so excited about that thing. You know, that's the kind of desire we ought to have for the Word of God. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. But may I also say unto you that I should probably have stated it, the truths of the Bible, or that which is found in the Bible, because certainly you can possess a Bible just like a baby can possess a bottle but not drink of it. And so, but that baby's just not looking for the bottle. He's looking for what's inside that bottle. And so I say to you, desire the Bible, desire the truths of the Bible, just like a newborn babe desires the milk, then we ought to desire the Word of God. Now, you know what that means. You've seen that before, and most of you had children, so you know what that's like. Well, take the analogy that Peter gives us and make the application and realize that as a Christian, no matter what your spiritual age is, you need to desire the sincere milk of the Word. I pray that stirs your heart. There are a few terms I want to bring to your attention as we look through this verse. And first of all, we look at that word desire as newborn babes desire. Now this word, first of all, is a command. It's in the imperative. And so it's not, well, you have you don't have to if you don't want to. It's a command. You desire the sincere milk of the Word. But this word means to desire besides. It's just not a desire, but it's more than a desire. So it is to desire earnestly. It is to long for. It is to have a strong bent. Not just a drawing toward, but a strong bent toward. By implication, you might have the words to love. Love the Word of God. Have an affection for. The interlinear, which is a translation from the Greek language, my interlinear translated it, long ye after. Long ye after. So desire. Not just think, oh, well, that'd be nice to have. But to long for it. It's more. It's have an earnestness about it. Quiver when you see it. Oh, the Bible, I just can't wait to open it up. That's kind of the idea behind the Word. Now, we find another word in the text, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, the word sincere means without deceit. It's a very simple discussion there. The King James translators translated it as the word sincere. This in the original language is actually the root word, with the noun, with the prefix "ah" before it. We do it in our society, in our English language. We know that a theist is somebody that believes in God. An atheist, the prefix "ah" before it, changes that, so it's somebody, an atheist is somebody who doesn't believe in God. A Gnostic is someone who knows. An agnostic is someone who doesn't know. A millennial believes in the millennium. An amillennial doesn't believe in a millennium. Well, this word is that word, and it takes the noun that means it's a bait for entrapping. And so if you ever set up a mouse trap and you put the cheese in there, well, that cheese is this word. It's a bait for trapping, but the idea is the word, it means fraud or deceit. But in the Greek, it has that "ah" prefix for it, so it doesn't have any fraud, doesn't have any deceit. And so the Word of God is sincere, without deceit. And by the way, I do believe God's Word is pure. And we're fortunate to have a copy of His Word. So we look into the text, and we see that newborn babes ought to desire the sincere milk of the Word. Why? That you may grow. Grow. And that means exactly what you think it means. It is to cause to grow or to increase. It is to be enlarged. And so we know what the word grow means. And we're to grow thereby. Specifically, exactly, the translation is that by it. That you may grow that by it or thereby. So we can stop right now and you have the idea of what you need to do in order to grow spiritually. But we're not going to cheat you on your time today. You've come here to hear a message from the Word of God, and that's what we're going to give you. So as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Now the basic thought found in this verse is a cause and effect, isn't it? Think of the effect first. The effect is growth. And then, of course, then we have the cause. The cause is the Word. And so if you want, it just boils down that if you want the effect, then you must have the cause. Does that make sense to you? I trust that's clear. But you can also be confident that if you have the cause, you will have the effect. And so this verse tells us how to respond to God and how to develop spiritually. Again, I say unto you, as I've said many times in the past and will say many times in the future, investing time in the Bible will revolutionize your life. It will. It will change you if you will spend time in the book. Now that's the verse. That's the review of the verse. So the second point of my message is I want to offer some reflections on this verse. Some reflections on this verse. First of all, notice when you look at this, and we can just consider that the primary focus is upon spiritual growth. Now, I know that's implied, but I think it's a correct implication. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. He's talking about spiritual growth, the things of God, the knowledge of the Word of God, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, which, by the way, you're going to get from the Word of God, and the difference it will make. We talk about Christian maturity or spiritual maturity. And we talk about newborn babes. We talk about seasoned Christians. Well, you want to grow. You want to develop. You want to mature. Spiritually, you want to develop. You should not be satisfied. If you've been saved for any length of time at all, if you're just in the same spiritual plane as you were 5 years ago or 10 years ago, you're not growing. You're not growing. You ought not be satisfied with that. The text is involving its matter of spiritual growth. And even as I believe that I am a mature Christian, but there's still room for growth and ought to desire growth and further maturity. I do want to also submit unto you that when you think about the spiritual growth that's being discussed here, that spiritual growth also assists growth in other areas. You want to grow physically? Best way to do it is do it on the precepts of the Scripture. Now you have to think about that for a moment. But spiritual growth can be affected by how you respond to the Word of God. Financially, emotionally, psychologically, educationally, you can take the Word of God, and if you're growing spiritually and you're doing what God would have you to do and you're implementing the truths of God's Word, then that spiritual growth will affect every other area in your life. And, you know, you read the Scriptures and you read about John the Baptist and you read about Jesus, it says they grew in wisdom and in stature. Grew in wisdom and in stature. Shouldn't that be your desire to grow in wisdom and in stature? Was that just in a spiritual sense? No, they grew physically. They grew as men. And I submit unto you, you look at this verse, although the primary focus is a spiritual thing, it will affect every aspect of your life. That's why it will make a difference for you. Grow spiritually. We encourage you to do so. Now then we also consider this text, and we find that new and abiding Christians require growth. Babies need to grow. Children need to grow. Teenagers need to grow. Adults need to grow. And so you say, well, I've been saved for 25 years and I've learned the Scriptures and I've read through it over and over and over again and I have all the spiritual growth I need. My friend, you're wrong on that. All of us can grow. All of us can be increased in the things of God. No matter how long you've been saved and no matter how spiritually mature that you are. But certainly for the newborn in Christ, yeah, the new Christian, absolutely, you need to grow. And since then, we need to keep on growing. And so that leads us to the next point, and that simply is this. Growth is expected. Don't you expect babies to grow? I mean, we had those two babies, and they were small and could be held very easily. Not anymore, my friend. Why? Because they grew. They grew. I wouldn't try to hold them now. They're way beyond us. But we expected growth. We didn't expect that newborn to stay a newborn. We didn't expect the toddler to stay a toddler. And neither did you with your children, did you? You want them to grow. You expect growth. And as Christians, we ought to expect growth. As a pastor, I expect when somebody makes a profession of faith, I want to see them grow. When people come, and my desire is that as Christians, as you serve and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would grow. That you would be different than what you were before. You want to grow, and growth is expected. But then certainly I think we all understand and realize that growth is in correlation with good health. If you're in good health, you will be growing. If you don't have good health, you won't be growing. You want to have good health. You want to be in good health. and you want to grow. Do you desire growth? Oh, I pray that you do. I pray that you do. Now, Peter talks about this matter of growth. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And what do we find from this passage? We've already indicated it to you, but clearly the word of God is a catalyst or the means for spiritual growth. Some Christians will come around and they'll say, I just don't understand why I still struggle with this and with that. And I don't understand why I'm the same as I was 10 years ago. And I don't understand why I'm not growing spiritually. You know why? You neglect the book. You don't spend any time in the Word of God. And when you hear the preaching of the Word of God, you're so distracted you don't catch any of it. My friend, the Word of God will make a difference. I guarantee you, based on the Word of God itself. God's authority. His word will change your life. And you can grow spiritually. And God will use His word to do it. That means you cannot affect spiritual growth absent from the word of God. You cannot do it. I would submit unto you the effort you put into the word of God is going to be what you get out in your growth. And if you don't ever spend any time in the word of God, don't expect much spiritual growth. You spend a lot of time in the Word of God and applying the principles you find there, expect spiritual growth. Why? Because the Bible says so. It's cause and effect, isn't it? That's the catalyst that God will use. And so God uses the Word of God to effect growth. Now, I understand I can't make myself grow, and I can't make you grow. God is the one that gives growth. And so, and this word is in the passive, by the way. That means it's an effect done upon you. You want to get in the Word of God so that you may grow. But God is the one that produces growth. But how is He going to produce that growth? He's going to do it through His Word. So if you want to grow as a Christian, what do you need to do? You need to get into the book and appeal to God and say, God, do exactly as you said you would. Take your word and cause me to grow. Let me be a spiritual giant for you. Well, I would encourage you to pray just like that. And so what we find is the word should be desired. Do you desire the, do you long for the book? Do you have an interest in the things of God? Now, when you look into the text, he uses a phrase here, the milk of the word. Now, just about anybody you talk to in the religious realm is going to understand that the milk of the word is just the fundamentals. I mean, the very basic, bare-bone kind of things, the milk of the Word. These are the easy things, the basic fundamentals. And he says, desire the sincere milk of the Word. By the way, this tells me that no matter how old you get, you still need milk. I remember when I was young, my mom pushed milk. Drink milk, drink milk, drink milk. And we push our kids, drink milk, drink milk. Well, even though they're adults now, they still need to drink milk. Even though I'm an adult, I still need to drink milk. And so take that application and say, hey, well, he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. You're never too old in the things of God to go back and be refreshed about the things that are very basic. You know, I've known that all my life. Well, maybe you have, but you need to be refreshed on it. Take a drink of milk. Learn some things and be refreshed of the things that you've known for years and years. But I invite you to turn back to Hebrews chapter 5 for just a moment. I believe the Word of God ought to be desired, and that milk is the fundamental things of the Word of God. But what I know is, and what I've learned from the Word of God, is that elementary growth allows for more substantial diet. Now, isn't that true? As anybody here, when you had your child, did anybody bring that baby home from the hospital, sit him before a T-bone steak and a baked potato, and said, here you go, boy. Here's your first meal. Anybody do that? Anybody offers? Well, there might be some, but nobody here would admit to it. You didn't take meat and offer it to a baby. One, they didn't have any teeth. But they just wasn't ready for it. So they had milk, didn't they? You gave them milk. And then you gave them pureed food, you know, the mashed up stuff and everything else. And then you got a little bit more substantial. And you went from the very basic, fundamental, easy stuff to the more difficult stuff. And what I'm submitting unto you is, he says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Absolutely, it's true. But as you develop and as you mature, then that will allow you for more substantial diet. that is the meat of the Word. Doctrines that, you know what, aren't so easy to figure out, and you still have a ton of questions over. Hebrews chapter 5, where I've invited you to turn, the author of the Hebrews had a dealing with this, with the people he was writing to. And he says in verse 12, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers." They've been saved long enough. They've been trained long enough. They ought to be teachers. He says, "You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat." You've been saved all this time, taught all this time, and you can't take any meat at all. The only thing you can do is still suck on a bottle. He says, that's a problem. But then notice what he says in verse 13, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." And so you say, "I've been saved for 25 years. If you're still sucking on milk and can't get anything beyond that, you're still a babe. I don't care. You can say anything you want. The author of the Hebrews says you're still a babe because you're unskillful in the word. But then he says in contrast, verse 14, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." I encourage you, dear Christian friend, desire the sincere milk of the Word. He's not minimizing that. It's just you want to go beyond that. You want to be able to handle some meat too. Now that's going to take some time. I understand you have to develop. You have to mature. You have to deal with some things, but I'd encourage you to desire the Word of God, the milk of it and the meat of it. Boy, just long for God's Word. But then as I come down to the end of my considerations, I would submit unto you that God will allow you to be ignorant or to be deficient of the Word. And I say that because that word "grow" is in the subjunctive. That's an if possibility. He says, "That you may grow thereby." You can grow if you'll get into it, but if you don't get into it, you will not grow. God will cause growth if you do get into it, but if you do not, you will not grow. And the point of the matter of that is that some have ignored the Word of God. They will not look into the book. They will not take time to read it. And God has permitted His children to do that, but you know what? That's your option. I remember a time in my life I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the book. And after I was first saved, I heard all the preaching, but I never picked up the book on my own. And then I started studying here and there, and then eventually God really worked on my heart about the importance of the Word of God. And I, since that day, way back in 1979, I've been reading the book through consistently and on a regular basis, just reading it through. Why? Because it's important. Don't be deficient in the Word of God. Why? Well, I trust you know that malnutrition hinders growth, doesn't it? They don't eat right, what happens? Muscles start to atrophy. Strength goes. Ability goes. Starts to affect other systems of your body. Well, all you got to do is look at these people go on hunger strikes. And what happens to them as the food is not given to them, or people who are dying and will not eat. And what happens to them? Malnutrition hinders growth, and it leads to ill health. It'll make you sick if you don't eat right. And if you don't eat the way you should, and as often as you should, and that kind of a thing, and it can even result in death. Well, that certainly is true physically, but that may also be applied spiritually, because if you live after the flesh, you shall die. And I believe some Christians can shorten their lives by not being what God would have them to be, and you become so malnourished of the things of God, that finally God just says, "I'm taking you home." I think that can happen. And so I would encourage you not to become malnourished in the things of God. Finally, may I submit unto you that growth is expected if we want to reach maturity. You that have children, you expected growth. You're teaching, you're training, you want them to develop, you want them to be mature, you want them to be able to get out on their own and to exist in our society, and you want them to become responsible adults. We ought to desire that spiritually. Expect growth. And if you want to reach maturity, you're going to have to grow to get there. But then I also would remind you that nutrition is necessary to maintain that maturity. I became an adult long time ago, but that doesn't mean I quit eating. You can tell that, amen? And I didn't quit drinking milk, and I didn't quit eating and drinking food and all that things that are necessary. And so even though I've reached maturity, I still need to maintain. And that's true spiritually. I met a guy one time. He told me he read the Bible through one time, and that was good enough for him. And I could not believe it. Well, he certainly wasn't anyway. He wasn't even a Christian. But point being, you might think that you've reached spiritual maturity. Well, maybe you have. That's good. But you want to maintain. And so you still need to keep drinking the milk. You still need to keep chewing on the steak of the Word of God and that which is in between. I would encourage you to do that. So our verse is very clear. We've offered that to you, and plus some considerations. I pray that God's stirring your heart up a little bit. But let me pass on to my third point of the message. And I'm just going to make some statements to you, maybe a few digressions. But if you choose not to use the Bible, if you're here today and you say, I know I'm saved, but I'm not going to get in the Bible. I don't have time for the Word of God. And I'm going to the services, and that's enough. You can do that if you wish. Remember, that was in the subjunctive. You can choose not to. And so if you choose not to use the Bible, let me offer you to have five things. Number one, if you choose not to use the Bible, you opt for your own wisdom over God's. Now you have to think about that for just a second. But if you're saying, well, I don't have time for the Word of God, I don't have time for what God has for me, what you're saying is, I know what I need to know and I don't need God to tell me. And so you're opting for your wisdom over God's. Back up to the first verse, and you'll see some of this in contrast. 1 Peter 2:1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. All those things in the first part of the verse is what comes from man's wisdom. Man's wisdom comes from below. God's wisdom is from above. So you can choose to ignore the Bible. It's your desire. And we do encourage you to keep coming to church even if you quit reading your Bible. But because at least you'll get something. But I would encourage every one of you, just do not rely upon attending the services for your Bible diet. How many of you eat three times a week? And that's it. If you come to the services and you come Sunday morning, you come Sunday afternoon, and you come Wednesday night, you eat three times out of the Word of God all week long. Is that really enough for spiritual growth? I don't think so. I would encourage you to spend more time in the Word of God. Am I challenging you today? I hope I have a good spirit about it. I just want you to love the Word of God. So secondly, you choose not to use your Bible, you bypass proven instruction for life and living. How many of you, I'm like this, I get something from the store, it has to be assembled. What I will do is I will assemble that dude without looking at the directions. Or at least I'll take a stab at it. And then I'll get partway through, depending how complex it is, and I'll go, ooh, this isn't working. Back up, I need directions. Well, you know what? That's what you do with the Bible. This book has been proven for life and living. Boy, it'll make a difference for you forever. It really will. It'll not only lead you to salvation, but it'll tell you how to live this life and how to serve and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. This is proven over and over and over again. Do not bypass the instructions. And so, you newly saved or been saved for a long time, here's the book. I encourage you to get into the Word of God. Number three, if you choose not to use the Bible, you wrongly conclude that you can do it without God. I learned a long time ago, I can't do anything without God. I still try to do it on my own strength once in a while because I'm dumb on occasion. But I can't do it. I can't serve Him. I can't follow Him. I can't be what I ought to be. I can't do it without God. I need His Word. I need Him to tell me. And I'm forgetful, and I'm getting more forgetful, so I need to read it more because I'm forgetting more. And so I can't do it without God. And if you choose to say, well, I'm not going to spend time in the Bible, then you have come to the conclusion that you think you can do it without Him, and that's just a grave mistake. Number four, consider that if you choose not to use the Bible, you purposely fast from spiritual things. Fast means to avoid, just abstain from. And so what you're saying is, I don't need to be involved in spiritual things. That would be a mistake, and that's going to hinder you in your walk. Last point is this. If you choose not to use your Bible, listen, then you choose to dwarf or halt your spiritual growth. You make that choice. Yeah, I want to be a dwarf Christian. I want to stunt my spiritual growth. Therefore, I'm not going to read the Bible. Now, when stated like that, that's offensive to every one of us, isn't it? Oh, I'd never do that. But that's exactly what we do when we ignore the book. We say, God, I have the milk and the meat here. but I'd rather not have any. I'd just as soon not grow. It's kind of what we're saying, isn't it? And that's why Peter exhorts his readers, just like babies do, and we can learn that, to love the Word of God. So, in closing, number one, as a Christian, you should long for the Word of God. I encourage you to long for God's Word. Number two, you need to drink it knowing that it is nutrition for your soul. Now, that's what the Bible teaches. That's what we learn. And so when you come to the book, go, God, I know this is what you're going to use to cause me to grow. I know that, and that's why I'm drinking from it. That's why I'm eating from it. Do that. Some of you take in, sure. Do you know why? Because you're not getting the vitamins and the minerals and the things that you need in a regular diet, and you'll get Ensure to help ensure you stay healthy physically. And you know what? Recognize the Word of God to be the Ensure. I'm going to stick in the book because I want to be healthy. And so then I submit unto you, number three, this is God's chosen way for Christians to grow. That's the way it is. If you want to grow spiritually, you cannot do it without the Word of God. Cannot do it. This is what God has chosen. Number four, will you love His Word? Will you learn His Word? Will you live His Word? Do you wish spiritual growth? Dear Christian, is there something in you that says, I would like to grow spiritually? If you're saved, I believe you have that in you. But here's the answer. Here's the answer. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And let me say a word to those of you that are lost. You say, well, how am I going to grow? I'm dead in trespasses and sins. Well, that's absolutely true. But you know, the solution for your spiritual need is still found in this book. That's where you're going to know. The answer is Jesus. And you can learn about Him right in these pages. And you can read about how Jesus died for sinners, was crucified, buried, and risen again. You can read about how He will release you from sin and from bondage and how you can get away from that kind of thing. And, I mean, just read the Word. Read what Jesus has done. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved. So the Word of God, even if you're lost, is still effectual for you. You need to read and you need to study it. 2 Peter chapter 3. You close your book already? If you did, let me read it to you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Peter in his second epistle writes to them and he says, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. Peter had it on his mind, didn't he? He wrote two letters that we have recorded for us and preserved for us in the Word of God, and both talks about spiritual growth. I exhort you, my friend, desire the Bible. Long for His Word and see what God will do in you as He changes your life by the precepts found here. Desire the Bible. Let's stand. I pray that God has spoken to your heart, stirred your soul in these matters, that you would love God's Word more. Father, thank you for the day. Bless your Word to our hearts. Draw us unto yourself. Cause us to love you. Cause us to love your Word. Teach us your Word and help us to grow by it. And we just commit all these things to you. And again, Lord, we pray for the lost that they might be saved. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. 300.